Baker here with you here in our Las Vegas studios. Make sure you hit us up at 702-365-9200. That's our text line brought to you by the Dollar Loan Center. Send the word money. Text money to 702-365-9200. You qualify for this week's Summer of Fun vacation from Planet Nissan. It's a fantastic five-day adventure out to Alpine, Wyoming at the Rockin' M Ranch for fly fishing, horseback adventures, or you just take the $3,000 cash. It's up to you, but you can't win unless you qualify. Qualify now. Text the word money.
M-O-N-E-Y.
Thank you, Vinny.
Jeez. The spelling on some of these have been so bad. Guys, do you want to win or not? You have to spell it correctly. M-O-N-E-Y. Not Monet. Remember the Prince Monet in the history of the world?
Yes, Count de Monet.
Count de Monet. Not M-O-N-I or M-O-N-Y. It's M-O-N-E-Y. Do yourself a favor. Spell it correctly. Give yourself a legitimate chance to win this great prize.
Matt Holder joins us now from silverandblackpride.com. Great writer. Also is part of Tape Don't Lie up on YouTube with Marcus Johnson. And he joins us now. I wanted to get you on, Matt, and thank you for being with us this morning. You know, there were some things that you talked about how the run game might look a little differently this year for the Las Vegas Raiders, not only with the departure of Josh Jacobs, but how will the schemes and the personnel be fitting with each other? And you brought up how Zamir White and how he'll look in the zone runs. What were you able to uncover from some of the information you were able to gather, not only in footage, but what we also know about what Zamir can do?
Yeah, I mean, I think with Zamir, you know, I think most people can tell you that have followed him closely since his days at Georgia, he's definitely a good guy on, like, the inside zone runs and a lot of the gap schemes that the Raiders run in the past, where he can kind of keep his shoulders down and get north and south. The biggest question there for his area growth going into this season is going to be on those outside zone runs, where he's a little bit not as quite as good at reading those, and he's definitely a guy who, like I said, wants his shoulders square to the line of scrimmage versus perpendicular, where he's not as great moving laterally.
Okay.
But yeah, he definitely showed some growth last year, and I think his vision actually was a little bit surprised and got, I think, a lot better toward the end of last year. I wasn't expecting to see that because that was one of the other issues with him coming out of Georgia, is where I think he got a lot better at finding the gaps, especially on those zone runs.
And the good thing about the NFL is nobody's a singular schemed kind of a run team. Everyone does a little bit of everything. So I'm sure they're going to mix it up and play to his strengths when he's on the field. On the other hand, Alexander Mattison, how does he fit in an outside zone run scheme?
You know, it's interesting. I remember when they brought him on, they were high on what he could do in the outside zone. I don't know if I necessarily agree that. I think he's a little bit more similar to Zamir than maybe some people might think. Maybe has a little bit more burst and might have a little more experience, at least in that type of system, where you can maybe be serviceable in those carries. And I think that's kind of the goal, because they did use him in Minnesota on those outside zone runs. But part of the reason why I think it didn't work out this past year is when they tried to use him in that role more often, more like he went when he was if he was replacing Dalvin Cook, what Cook would do in there. He didn't quite live up to the expectations, but I definitely think his experience can help out a little bit more, and he definitely has a little bit more lateral movement to help complement Zamir, for sure.
It's Matt Holder here with us, silverandblackpride.com, Tape Don't Lie, here on the Morning Tailgate. Then what does Madison also bring? Is it more of the pass-catching element? When he has the experience, maybe fitting him a little bit better as maybe being a little more versatile back, who do you think continues to win more of the snap counts when it comes right down to it?
I feel like Zamir, I'm pretty high on him going into this year. Again, I think the last four games, how he finished the year, which was kind of the theme of the Raiders season last year, really bought him a lot of weight with me. So I think he's still going to be the lead back and be able to contribute more and get the most carries out of the backfield. I think the way Madison and White can play off each other is either one of them can kind of give each other a break on those first and second down carries. I think the guys that are going to be competing for that third down role that you're talking about there, Clay, is going to be Amir Abdullah and maybe even Dylan Lobby, who's really good at that at New Hampshire. So, and I know he did pretty well in OTA. So those are the two guys I think that'll be more of the pass catchers out of the backfield.
Yeah, I took a lot of notes of Dylan during OTAs and minicamp because he flashed in every which way. Return game as a guy that got the ball out of the backfield, whether it was handoffs or pitch or reverses, and also being – thrown to as well. What does he bring to the table? What do you feel like he brings to the table? And do you think he's going to be able to create a little niche for himself, on this team offensively, not just in special teams, but offensively?
Yeah, I think he's definitely got a chance. You know, the biggest question that I think, you know, comes with any rookie is making the jump from college to the NFL. But, of course, when you're coming from the SBS level, that's an even bigger question mark. But it'll definitely be interesting to see how he does, especially in those preseason games when we get an even better look with the pads on and whatnot. But I definitely think he can contribute there or contribute in the passing game this year. Again, I think he had over 1,200 receiving yards during his last 2 years at New Hampshire there, and was a really effective pass catcher out of the backfield. So I think in year one, that's probably his best bet to be able to contribute offensively. And then he can be one of those guys that can take a lot of the outside runs down the line. He was a guy that definitely liked to bounce it on film, probably even when he shouldn't occasionally. But I think he can definitely be the effective outside zone type of guy that could really complement, you know, either Zamir or Alexander Mattison down the line. But, yeah, he's a guy that for year one, I think he's going to be really – his biggest contribution offensively is going to be catching the ball out of the backfield.
You can follow Matt Holder on X at mholder95 here with us on the Morning Tailgate Raider Nation Radio. Matt, then let's switch gears. You also broke down and had some interesting analysis on John Jenkins' game as well as the Raiders' defensive line as a whole. What did you notice from what John Jenkins was able to bring last year to the table and how he'll be worked in as a starter this year with Adam Butler kind of behind him, but also with Christian Wilkins on his left side?
Yeah, I think with John Jenkins, his biggest mission role on the team is kind of being that space-eating nose tackle. He's a guy that is not going to veer too far outside of the guard or anything like that as far as alignment goes. And he's just a guy that, like I said, can eat up gaps in the middle and right. Can two-gap for you, take care of both A gaps, and stands up pretty well against double teams, even if he does see a little bit of ground, he'll recover really quickly and just kind of eats up space in the middle. And, on top of being able to get off blocks and make plays for himself, I thought he did a really good job of occupying two blockers and freeing up linebackers and freeing up guys like Robert Spillane to go make plays and go make tackles. That's one of the biggest things that stood out to me on his film. And to me, he's one of the more underrated guys on the defense because you need one of those big defensive tackles, one of those big 330-pounders who can just take up space in the middle and plug up gaps.
Matt, in 362 pass rush snaps last year, the player that I'm getting ready to name had 28 total quarterback pressures, 5 quarterback hits, and 6 sacks. I'm talking about Adam Butler, who I think gets lost in the shuffle quite a bit on this Raiders defensive line. He's a rotational piece. We all understand that. But that's pretty good production in that many snaps for a rotational, interior pass rusher. What are we missing on Adam Butler that he doesn't get more love?
You know, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head with why he doesn't get quite as much recognition, because he is in that rotational role. You know, he's kind of the opposite of John Jenkins, where he's not great against the run. Mm-hmm. He's not the biggest defensive tackle in the world. But what he is he's quick and he can move really well. And on top of everything you said, I thought he was a guy that last year when you watched the Raiders, he was involved in almost every stunt they ran, and he was great at setting up guys and helping other guys get pressured in those line games and picking offensive linemen. And, like you said, Vinny, he's a guy that I think can really, really did contribute last year on the defensive line that kind of went unrecognized a little bit and has a big role in this team on the third down. So when Jenkins eats up the gaps on first and second, mm-hmm. and Butler comes in on third, he can really mix things up and create problems for the offensive line for sure.
You know, we're kind of going around the AFC and NFC this week, taking a look at, divisional previews, but also taking a look at Raiders opponents that they'll have to face. We started off with the AFC North and the Baltimore Ravens. Knowing how run-heavy some of these teams in that division are, did the Raiders improve on their run defense from last year?
Yeah, I think definitely. I think like I was talking about before, I mean, John Jenkins was obviously there last year, but bringing him back on that one-year deal I think was big to help their run defense. And Christian Wilkins got a lot of notoriety for his pass rush last year, but if you go back and actually look at his history as a pro in his 5 years, he's actually been a better run defender more than anything. Mm-hmm. He just kind of added that extra element to take a game to the next level last year. And when I watched him, I actually walked away a little bit more impressed with his run defense overall. So I think adding a guy like that who can be a three-down defensive tackle for you at that three technique, and pairing him with a guy like John Jenkins who can, again, do so many things for you to help free up other people. And then on top of it, you got Robert Spillane, who's been a great run defender throughout his career and was a good one last year. So I definitely like where the Raiders are at as far as, you know, being able to defend the run. Max Crosby, like I think we talked about a lot last year, how much he's grown in the last couple of years, really against the run. And I thought Kuntz played a lot better against the run, too. He's never going to be a huge part of his game, but he showed a lot of growth last year, toward the end of last year, to start doing the right things and at least hold his own on those first two downs.
Matt, I did a story for Las Vegas Review-Journal, got posted yesterday, but it was on the defensive line, and it's interesting to me because this defensive line has a chance to be very good to potentially exceptional. You know, we mentioned the Max Crosbys and the Christian Wilkins and the John Jenkins and the Adam Butlers, and that's a really good starting point, a great starting point, to be quite frank. But then you add in, and I think this is where exceptional could come into play. You add in Malcolm Kuntz and his ability to pick up where he left off last year, but then also the development of Tyree Wilson and, to a lesser extent, Byron Young. But if those two players can really contribute this year as opposed to last year from in a 17-game set, this defensive line has a chance to be really, really good. What are your expectations for Tyree and, to a lesser extent, Byron Young?
Yeah, I think with Tyree, I'm kind of interested to see what role they want to use him in. Just because with the addition of Christian Wilkins, you know, as far as taking up any of those inside interior pass rush snaps, and again, Adam Butler too, I don't know exactly how much that's going to work, but I think he can be, you know, one of those guys that is a fifth defensive lineman that whenever anyone needs a blow, he can kind of fill in, and I think his versatility will be able to help the defensive line out. And then as far as Byron Young, I mean, biggest thing is he's just got to be able to show a little bit more against the run. I think, last time I was on here, time before, we were talking about him and his development. He, to me, he's going to contribute as a run defender in the NFL. The problem was last year he struggled with that role too. So okay. I'd like to see him get a little bit better and a little more stout and hold up against his blocks. And yeah, if they get those two guys, this could be a top five defensive line, in my opinion. I think going into the year, they're top 10. With after the addition of Wilkins, and again, assuming Malcolm Kuntz picks up where he left off, I don't see any reason why this can't be a top 10 unit going into the year. And then if they get some more contributions from the guys deeper on the depth chart too, I definitely think they can be a top 5 unit this year.
Matt Holder here with us on Raider Nation Radio. Follow him at mholder95 on X, and also doing such a great job with silverandblackpride.com and Tape Don't Lie on YouTube. Matt, thank you for sharing time with us today. Great insight. Let's do it again soon.
No problem. Thank you guys for having me.
All right. Thank you. Matt Holder here with us on Raider Nation Radio. And I love what it's like, maybe we've talked about it several times. Like, it's the Raiders defensive line's like the crown jewel of where they're at right now. It's their most prized asset because it's so strong up front with your starters, but the depth is really strong too. And it's, it's still like thinking about a guy like, Byron Young, like where will he fit in all this? It's his training camp.
Is the depth strong?
Well, I think it could be if you have.
Could be.
I think it could be. I think if you got Tyree Wilson emerging as that player,
that's what the key is.
Yeah, that's where you could have like this explosive player as a depth piece. That's awesome.
Right, and I hear what you're saying, but I don't know that we can assume that the depth is good. That's the thing for me. Mm-hmm. As I was writing this story on Saturday, it could be exceptional if that depth is what we think it could be. But we don't know that yet. And it's on Tyree Wilson, and it's on Byron Young, and Nessa Jade Silvera, Butler, Matthew Butler,
sure,
is in
Janarius
that mix
Robinson,
as well. Janarius Robinson. Mm-hmm. It's on those guys to lift it from the back end to turn this thing into something that could be exceptional. But for me, right now, going into the season, that's why I mentioned, Malcolm, Christian Wilkins, Max Crosby, John Jenkins, Adam Butler, that's five right there that make this a great starting point, a really good starting point. But they're going to need those other guys to do their part. And that's still a question to me. So we'll see. The potential is there. That's what's so intriguing and alluring about it, is that you look at Tyree. I saw a picture of Tyree standing next to Max Crosby over at Max's pass rush summit last week here in Las Vegas, and he just looks like double the size.
Yeah, he does.
Of Max Crosby, he's a big human being,
massive individual.
Yeah, and you go watch the college tape, and there were signs of a dominant type player. Mm-hmm. We all know what happened last year with the injury that he suffered late in his final season at Texas Tech that set him back. But It really is. It's on him and it's on Byron Young and, you know, the Butlers and the Nessa Jade Silveras and the Janoris Robinsons of the world to be able to make this thing something that could be really, really special.
All right. Send your thoughts in on our text line, 702-365-9200, 702-365-9200. We'll continue to cascade around the AFC North, taking a look at the Raiders' opponents that they have to face. And did those opponents improve from where they were at last year? We'll get into more of that coming up next.
Always a good time to talk about our good friends over at Dos Catas Tequila. It was really cool at the Aces game. They're the official tequila sponsor of the Aces. So every time there was a free throw up on the board, it would say two shots, and it would be like Dos Catas Tequila, you know, two shots of Dos Catas Tequila.
I like it.
Yeah, it's great. It is literally the hottest tequila brand here in Las Vegas, and they're doing this city really proud. And if you want to, you know, go out and enjoy some Dos Catas Tequila, we always urge you to go check out Mike Prieto and La Casa Cigar and Lounge over at Tivoli Village. They've done a great thing of pairing up. Mike has some of his specialty cigars with the various labels of Dos Catas Tequila. So you're sipping some great tequila and matching it with a great cigar that Mike, who's a huge Raider fan, by the way, has designated as its partner. So go check out La Casa Cigar and Lounge at Tivoli Village. If you want to just go out and shop for some Dos Catas Tequila, absolutely go check out Lee's Liquor. They have all of the labels of Dos Catas Tequila, as does Total Wine. They have all the great products that Dos Catas Tequila puts out there. And if you're not here in Las Vegas, don't worry. You could go to doscatasspirits.com, and all of the products that Dos Catas puts out are online, and you can order it and get it shipped wherever you are. For the details, just go to doscatasspirits.com.
Below. Play action, just as you called. Clean pocket. Lobs downfield for Adams. Beckham grabs. Falls into the end zone. Touchdown. And landed in the end zone on a fourth and short. The Raiders strike for a 31-yard touchdown.
Oh, from last year's game on a Sunday night, Raiders hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're back here on Raider Nation Radio and the Morning Tailgate. Vinny Bonsignore, Clay Baker, and you. Thank you so much for being with us. Hey, be listening about 15 minutes. We will give you an opportunity to win two tickets to see the Battle for Vegas charity softball game this Saturday at the Las Vegas Ballpark, July 13th. It's two all-star teams between the Golden Knights and the Raiders with team captain A.J. Cole. Be listening. We'll give a pair of tickets away for that coming up around 8:40. Coming back there with the Davante Adams touchdown from Jimmy G. That game started out pretty awesome. They had that 30-yard touchdown on a fourth and short. Great call from Jason Horowitz there. And that was a game you felt like the Raiders had a chance as Jimmy wasn't as sharp, they still had a chance to win that game. You know, and he makes you wonder, like, all right, who improved the most either from last year? Was it either the Steelers or the Raiders, or have they both upgraded the same way in different looks, just trying to get better? One team wants to get better on offense, so do the Raiders. But did the Steelers do enough trying to figure out their quarterback woes as they realized that last year Pickett wasn't the guy?
Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't. He definitely wasn't the guy. And they revamped their quarterback room. Obviously, it starts with Russell Wilson, who will be an upgrade over Kenny Pickett. I expect that to be a fairly seamless transition for him. Don't know how long Russell Wilson's going to be on the scene, but
yeah,
for at least a one-year deal, he gives them quite the lift at quarterback. He's not Russell Wilson of yesteryear, but they really don't need him to be that. They have really good infrastructure around him. They've got some weapons. They've got a mindset. They've got a way that they want to attack. And I think Russell Wilson fits into that kind of an offense really well. Defensively, they added Patrick Queen. We talked about him. Not only did they get stronger at that position, but they weakened a divisional opponent in the Baltimore Ravens by stealing Patrick Queen from the Ravens. I really liked their draft. You know, when you talk about Troy Fontenot from Washington, okay. Fontenot from Washington, and then Zach Frazier, the center from West Virginia. I think those are the first two picks. So I think they strengthen at one tackle position wherever Troy ends up playing. And then Zach Frazier, I think, is a day one starter at center. But then I really liked their third and fourth picks as well. Roman Wilson from Michigan, I think he's going to fit like a glove with the Pittsburgh Steelers want to do. Kind of got lost in some of all that at Michigan, but was a big part of that offense. And then Peyton Wilson, the linebacker from North Carolina State, there were some medicals, you know, that that really hampered his draft status or lowered his draft status. But to be able to get him in the third round, I think was great value. And I think this is a player that's going to make an immediate impact. So to me, the Steelers, when you talk about, you know, if Fatanu and Frazier can be the day one starters that they're expecting them to be, I think their offensive line got better. I think they got better at quarterback. I think they got better at linebacker with both Wilson and Patrick Queen. I think Roman Wilson helps them in the wide receiver room. So this is a team that I think in short order has been able to get better from last year. And even with all their quarterback woes last year, this team got into the playoffs.
Yeah, and I still think that's a running game that is still very, very strong. In fact, they led the league last year in broken tackles. Their running backs did, from Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren. That is a dangerous backfield, and they can wear you out. And now that they just have like some competent quarterback play that can stretch the field out, that makes that running back room even more. You know, it's a little scary when you think about how some guys don't come off the field and they get stronger as the game goes on. Najee Harris has proven to be that guy.
Yeah, and I think actually that run game is going to assist Russell Wilson in the pass game. You know, when you look at the great offenses or the great teams of the Seattle Seahawks when Russell was flying high, he also had a really good run game typically, you know, alongside him. Yeah. So he's somebody that really does play off a good, sound, strong, intentional run game, and that's what the Pittsburgh Steelers always want to be about, and then they allow their quarterback to play off of that. So I think that's why I feel like this is a perfect marriage with this level of Russell Wilson, that running game, a potentially improved offensive line, some added weapons to what the Steelers already have, and a chance to, you know, add at linebacker and improve at linebacker behind a defensive line that's always going to bring it. You know, they've got some name players over on that defensive line. Watt, of course, is always going to be in the hunt for the Defensive Player of the Year award. So they've got, you know, what you need up front. So, you know, when you talk about the NFC North and you talk about the mindset of the Ravens and the Steelers, they're kind of one in the same. And then you add the Cleveland Browns as well. They're a hard-nosed football team. They're quarterback play has to improve, obviously. And we've talked a lot about that, but you know, those are three games that are going to test the mettle of the Raiders from a physical standpoint and a just a mindset standpoint. We'll see what the Bengals, you know, bring with Joe Burrow is a whole other kind of an issue to deal with. But those three teams in particular, the Browns, the Ravens, and the Steelers, bring a mindset and a mantra that the Raiders are going to have to respond to. And what I keep talking about is I think that that's, you know, I'm not saying that the Raiders are trying to emulate those three teams, but some of the embodiments of those three franchises, the toughness, the physicality, the intentionality to run it, to really make your life difficult from a defensive standpoint, you know, bringing the pressure on your quarterback, being strong at linebacker, being strong in the secondary, are embodiments that the Raiders want to be about as well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the way the schedule will split out for the Raiders, they face the Steelers at home after they are on the road at Denver, and then before they go on the road to the Rams. So there's that one home game with the Steelers sandwiched in between two roadies at Denver, at the Rams. It's a pivotal point in the schedule for them to get a W at home. And you're looking at a Steelers team that is very hungry and is built to really deal with the AFC North pressures. And even during minicamp, ESPN's Brooke Pryor had talked about how they're expecting Pat Freiermuth, their tight end, to be a number two wide receiver, like to get that kind of targets, to get that kind of action, if he's healthy. Mm-hmm. But that goes to show you that they're looking to smash mouth. They're looking to actually be always very physical, even with their receivers. And we don't have any problems with Pickens and guys like that, but you know, especially what a rookie wide receiver could do with Roman. But man, if you're getting that kind of confidence out of a young tight end, I would like to see the Raiders kind of go in kind with that, with their young tight ends, to make this a really difficult game to judge. And maybe it all is in the middle of the field when it's all said and done, that these two teams are very, very difficult to stop because they're so physical. And by mid-October, we're really going to find out maybe this is that Raiders team that you've been waiting for to be just as physical and match the Steelers with that.
Yeah, and we always talk about this for the Raiders. I think it comes down to quarterback play.
Mm-hmm.
As it will for the Steelers, you know, they still managed to find their way into the playoffs despite, you know, kind of mediocre quarterback play. I think the Raiders should get better quarterback play than the Steelers got, you know, and I think the continuity now that, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, having Antonio Pierce firmly in place as the head coach starting the season, not just coming in mid-season, I think that's why I do feel that 9 or 10 wins is out there for the Raiders, because I saw a Pittsburgh Steelers team that, you know, kind of has some of the same attributes and maybe the same weaknesses that the Raiders had last
yes.
year, maybe even more so
yeah.
At the quarterback position, and still were able to figure it out and get to the playoffs. And if you're the Raiders, I think you should expect a better level of quarterback play than what the Steelers got last year from, you know, their kind of cast of characters. And if they do, I keep saying this, if they are able to get that kind of level of quarterback play, then 9 and 10 10 wins is definitely out there for the Raiders.
One thing about the Steelers is that they constantly deal with issues of waiting for T.J. Watt to play a full season, you know, completely healthy. I think they should wipe that all out. Like, just be happy with whatever you get out of T.J. Watt. Expecting him to be there all year isn't possible. But they tried to, like, you know, hedge their bets a little bit by acquiring somebody like Patrick Queen. So mm-hmm. at least the middle of the field is stronger than it was last year.
And the drafting of Wilson, I think that
yeah.
their linebackers just got a lot more athletic. Peyton Wilson is a great athlete. I'm reading here in PFF, I didn't realize he doesn't have an ACL in one of his knees. That's
doesn't want it.
No, he's not having. He doesn't have an ACL.
Okay,
it was removed, I guess. I've never heard about that. I've never heard that, but reading Pro Football Focus, that was the reason why he wasn't a higher draft pick, because if you put the tape on, and whatever, if he doesn't have an ACL, if that is accurate, and I'm reading it.
Maybe something else is compensating for that.
Because
yeah.
he ran really well at the scouting combine, and you know, and was just a heck of a player. So I think they got better athletically at linebacker, and Patrick Queen is a very productive player. And he'll be a leader of that Steelers defense. So they've kind of changed over that linebacker room a little bit. And then, you know, that they're always going to bring it physically, defensively. And they're going to want to always be a physical offense. Yeah. They're going to bring a lot of fans here to the Steelers. They just always travel really well, especially to a destination city like Las Vegas, or when, you know, Los Angeles. They're always going to pack it. So it's on the Raiders to fight that. It's going to be a challenge. But I think it's a team that the Raiders, you know, if they're playing, especially if they get their that necessary level of quarterback play, it's a team that I think the Raiders should beat.
One thing about the Raiders from last year when they faced the Steelers to now is maybe just something in the head coaching, and maybe the mindset of how to deal with a close game. Because as remember that game against the Steelers on that Sunday night, that the Raiders were down 23-7 going into the fourth quarter. They rally back, they get a touchdown and a 2-point conversion, Michael Mayer from Garoppolo, and it brings it to 23-15. But they had the ball within, like, you know, within the, like, the last 3 minutes, and they elected to kick it, all right, to try to get the ball back, you know, have the defense get it back. But they were pretty close. You know, they were, you know, that was a short field goal. That was a 26-yard field goal. So they were, like, you know, hovering in the red zone. Do you feel like the mindset would be, let's keep our offense on the field and try to win this game, or at least try to tie it up because we're at home? What do you think the mindset, or maybe the ideas, will be different maybe from what McDaniel's thought pattern was versus Antonio Pierce?
Yeah, refresh my memory. I think, wasn't there a third and long that they forced the Steelers into, and they, for whatever reason, they weren't able to stop them? The Raiders punted it, and they had a chance to get it back, but I think I want to say that they gave up a third and long, or something happened.
Yeah, there was something there that bit on that, and they couldn't resist it because time kept running out on them.
Yeah, well, they had a chance to force a punt and get the ball back and maybe potentially put together a game tying drive, but they weren't able to get the Steelers off the field. Yeah, and I agree with you. I think that a different head coach might have a different mindset, and we'll see. I also remember Jimmy taking a beating in that game. That was game two. Was it game two of the season, or where was that? Because it was
game three, and he took a vicious shot from all different guys.
I remember talking to him after the game. He was in a lot. I don't think he played the next week.
He was only he didn't play the next week. He was registered with four sacks, getting sacked four times. But I saw like 6 to 7 massive hits on him throughout the game.
He took a beating, and that's what the Steelers want to do to you. They want to physically take it out of you, and that's exactly what they did. And they knocked the Raiders quarterback out of the next game. So that could have played into it as well. That decision not to go for it at that point. Maybe that played into it a little bit.
But, yeah, because it was kind of wobbly. It was like you which did you have better confidence in, getting the defense back on the field, or kind of finding a way through the offense? Because it just wasn't clicking for Jimmy, and yet that's when you started to see that his foot issues were starting to really creep up on him.
Yeah, he took a couple of big hits. So it wasn't even just the foot, even though the foot was always the problem. But that foot also contributed to some of the lack of mobility. And when you're a sitting duck for a Mad Hat defense like the Steelers, that's going to play right into their hands. But those are issues for last year. I think moving forward, the Raiders should be in better position from a quarterback perspective, at least from a healthy quarterback perspective. You've got one quarterback in Aiden O'Connell who put together a pretty decent year when given the reins. You've got Gardner Minshew who say what you want about his ceiling, but you kind of know what you're going to get from a Gardner Minshew. Both quarterbacks just need to eliminate the dog games. There's always going to be that, factor. Gardner Minshew has turned in a few over. It's kind of why he's not a starter, because, he fluctuates between good and bad. And you just have to eliminate those as much as possible. And Aiden as well, if he's the starting quarterback. We saw some clunkers from him as well. You can't live in that, roller coaster world where one week, it's the game against the Chargers, but the previous week it's the game against the Minnesota Vikings, or the game against the Kansas City Chiefs versus what they ended up doing against the Denver Broncos to end the season. It's got to be more consistent, and the efficiency level has to be higher for more prolonged periods. And that's really the only way. I was talking to somebody in the NFL about this. To win 10 games, you need your quarterback to play well on a week-to-week basis. You're going to have some clunkers, but you can't have 5 or 6 clunkers, not at this level.
All right, well, we'll continue to get your thoughts at 702-365-9200 on the other side. But before we do, we'll clear the phone lines for you to get a chance to win 2 tickets to see the 5th annual Battle for Vegas charity softball game this Saturday, July 13th, at the Las Vegas Ballpark. 2 all-star teams, Golden Knights against A.J. Cole and the Raiders. Tickets are online, easy to get, battleforvegas.com. But you could win, too, by calling 702-365-9200. It's brought to you by Tobin Motor Cars, a proud sponsor of the Battle for Vegas charity softball game. You can go online and visit TobinMotorCars.com. You can explore their full gallery of new and pre-owned luxury vehicles. Thanks again to Tobin Motor Cars. From the text line, 702-365-9200. We'll get your thoughts. Brought to you by the Dollar Loan Center, 702-365-9200. It's Vinny and Clay on your Monday. Talk to Jesse Merrick from News 3. He joins us at 9 o'clock. Get the lowdown around the sports scene in here in Southern Nevada. And also ask him about the AFC North opponents for the Raiders and who they'll face and who has upgraded the most since last year. At 702-365-9200, we're getting some thoughts on the text line talking about the Steelers themselves. Somebody is asking, how different will the look be for the Raiders defense if it's Justin Fields having to play for Russell Wilson in that game in October?
You got to account for his running, but I don't know that you have to do all that much to slow down Justin Fields. I'm not a big Justin Fields guy in terms of throwing the ball and, defending him like that. But the only way that I see that happening is if there's an injury to Russell Wilson. I think this is the Russell Wilson show, and I think, Justin Fields, hopefully for him, he's able to get it figured out and, kind of get on track to be, some level of quarterback. But I think, his market pretty much explained to you really what the NFL thinks of Justin Fields right now. What was it, a 6th-round pick?
Yeah.
you know, that, mm-hmm. that tells you all you need to know about Justin Fields. So, yeah, there would have to be some sort of adjustments, but I think it's easier to defend Justin Fields than it is Russell Wilson, even at this stage.
Yeah, I think there's certainly a lot to be said about his speed and his ability to break a game open on certain plays. It's really awesome to see his athleticism, but it looks as though that, you know, by all accounts, by minicamp, it was no doubt his job at Russell Wilson's job before this. And James Crapie even also talked about, like, you know, yeah, they want to make sure there's a competition. Everyone's trying to work at the same level. But it was clear that Russell Wilson was getting all the first team looks.
This wasn't, I mean, I know everyone wants to talk about the C word competition and everything like that. And of course you want competition. But they didn't bring in Russell Wilson to really compete with Justin Fields for the starting job. It's to me, it's not even close who the better quarterback is. Even at Russell Wilson's current state, he's a better quarterback than Justin Fields. Just go look at the stats. Look at the stats from last year. You know, and that it tells the entire story. So there's no way that the Steelers are going to bring in Russell Wilson and legitimately say, oh yeah, there's a quarterback competition, and have both quarterbacks looking over their shoulder and going through that whole thing, when in reality we know who the better quarterback is. It's mm-hmm. Russell Wilson.
Yeah. 702-365-9200 is
Justin
the number.
This is a project at this point.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, he's, you know, he's a guy that just go look at the stats. I mean, again, I'm not lying about the stats. Look at the stats. When you can't complete. When you're having a hard time getting over 60%, completing 60% of your passes, there's an issue. And it's Zach Wilson. It's all these other quarterbacks that have kind of, you know, come and gone. These high draft pick quarterbacks that didn't translate. They don't see the field well enough. They don't read defenses well enough. They have that kind of deer in the headlight looks. They don't handle pressure well. They don't play efficient level of quarterback, especially in the pass game, and that's been their undoing. Justin Fields is no different than some of those others that we just mentioned.
Yeah, because just given his age at 24, you'd think, like, you know, if Justin's able to stick around in this league, he's got to make some major adjustments in his game. But at the same time, you know, they realized, the Steelers did last year, that this was never going to work out if we continue to try to wait for Kenny Pickett to develop. Because this is
another one.
That's the idea of, like, there is no time to develop you. Okay, you have to be a part of this on your own to get better on your own to stay in this league.
There's time to develop, but there has to be traits that are you have to show something.
You have to show something
that there's something to develop. Obviously, everybody's in mm-hmm. In a you know, to some extent, you're always developing, but you have to have traits and strengths and assets that are able to be that you feel as an organization, if we pour the you know, the time in and the investment in, that there's going to be a payoff on those traits. To me, when I look at Justin Fields as electrified, and here's the thing, if I'm the Steelers, I'd probably have a couple packages for him, you know, to take advantage of what he does bring to the table. But if you're asking me, do I want, you know, Justin Fields as my down in and down out quarterback, there's nothing that he's shown me thus far in his couple of years. And he's had plenty of chances, multiple offensive coordinators, that I would feel comfortable, like, yeah, he's going to be the guy eventually. I just don't see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't think I think even the Steelers realized, you know, out of last year, that this is never going to happen with Trubisky.
Oh,
and
yeah.
This is, we're enough. We're done with Mason Rudolph too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we have to move on. You know, there are certain traits in each one of them, and it's just not worth it to holding on to any longer. Let that go to somebody else. Trubisky's going to be 30 this year.
Yeah, I mean,
really, like, but Mason Rudolph was sticking around on that team for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, he's a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
And it ended up swinging to him. And you know, he and who else did they put their quarterback? They played.
Yeah, he won some games. He actually went 3-0 after Trubisky proved that he was 0-2.
Right.
And showed you all the limitations.
But good on the Steelers for not getting. I think the worst thing teams can do sometimes is get caught as prisoners of the moment. Oh, 3-0. That's the guy. No, he's not the guy. Mason Rudolph is not the guy. Russell Wilson's not the long range guy. But Russell Wilson gives you a upgrade over what you had on a team that did make the playoffs, and that's a pet peeve with mine, as far as, you know, just getting sucked into something just because something worked for a couple of weeks. It's not about a couple of weeks. It's about 17 games, and if you really feel Mason Rudolph is the guy after going 3-0, compared to every other chance that he's gotten, you know, that it's the joke's on you. You know, you're gonna end up holding the bag, and I think the Steelers were wise enough and smart enough to realize, yeah, that was nice. It happened. It was great. Thank you. But yeah, we're not moving forward with you.
Real quick, an offshore book had put out some lines on notable free agents out there in the NFL, and where each team is ranked as like possible destinations. Two cornerbacks are out there. One of them was Stephon Gilmore. Jacksonville Jaguars are actually slated as a favorite to assign him at 4-1. The Raiders are at 18-1 on Stephon Gilmore. Do you think that they'll add anything in this portion of training camp when it comes down to it, that they feel like they need to get a little more experience at that spot? Is Gilmore even that guy?
Yeah, I mean, he's still a pretty decent football player. I guess I would not be surprised if they added to the cornerback room. But at the same time, I think what they're asking themselves is, based on what you saw from Gilmore this past season, is he a decided upgrade over what they believe they may have in Jacorian Bennett and maybe even to Cameron Richardson eventually, and and Brandon Faison?
Sure.
And if it's not like a lot better or significantly better. And if maybe it's the level of play, if you're the Raiders, you say, we think we can get somewhat close to that with the guys that we have. Then the question becomes, if you bring in Gilmore for just a little bit better, maybe, or kind of the same thing, what's the downside in terms of the development of a Jacorian?
Yeah, there's a consequence of possible regression.
Yeah. So in that kind of an instance, maybe you just feel like better off with Jacorian Bennett and the upside that he still has, and not denying him that development, those development possibilities by bringing in a veteran that's just going to take his reps, game reps. Because the way Jacorian Bennett is going to get better is by being on the field and playing. You know, obviously behind the scenes and at practice, that plays a lot into it as well. But you only become, to me, a good NFL player by playing NFL snaps. That's where you see it. That's where the experience comes. That's where you start seeing what wide receivers are how they're trying to attack you, how the quarterback is trying to attack you in real time, in real situations. I don't think you can ever replicate that in any other instance other than actually doing it.
And Xavier Howard's also on that list.
Yeah, but he's got some issues.
He's got some issues, and the Raiders are like 18-1 there. I don't think they would necessarily do that down that road where
I'd be surprised.
I would be surprised there too, regardless of his history with Patrick Graham. On the other side is Jesse Merrick from News 3. We'll talk to him about the Raiders' upcoming opponents on the AFC North, who has upgraded, who has not. It's next on Raider Nation Radio.